It's good to see y'all. My name is AJ Sturm. I'm from Central Baptist in Amelia, Ohio, and I'm the youth pastor down there. I'm also the pastor's assistant, and which just means I do whatever he says. So some days I am doing visits with him, and other days I'm cleaning the toilets. So it is, you know, praise God for it, all right? Any of the work of the Lord, I praise him for it. But go ahead and take your Bibles. We'll turn over to the book of Numbers, chapter number 22. Book of Numbers, chapter number 22. Brother Jake had reached out, and he said he wanted the best preacher he could find for this exact moment. And when that preacher didn't respond, he asked me, and I said yes. And so I came down here. It's perfect. But it is good to meet y'all. Y'all are very friendly. I thank you for your hospitality. It's a nice little building here, by the way. I love it. I've heard so much about McGregor Road, but I've never gotten to see the building, so I absolutely love it. I heard there was debates on whether we should get new pews or new chairs. Our church is having that debate as well. And if you've been to our church, we have those big cement blocks that echo like Mammoth Cave in Ohio. And so we're kind of deciding on what to do, something to just absorb the sound a little bit more. But it is good to be here, and I know we're looking at Christmas coming up, and as I said before, we're only 2 laundry days away from Christmas. It's going to be amazing. It's terrific. I want to talk a little bit about changes this morning. Changes. Here in Numbers chapter number 22, we'll go ahead and read verse number 1 here. It says, "And the children of Israel set forward and pitched in the plains of Moab, on this side of Jordan by Jericho. And Balak the son of Zippor saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. And Moab was sore afraid of the people because they were many. And Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. And Moab said unto the elders of Midian, Now shall this company lick up all that are round about us, as the ox licketh up the grass of the field. And Balak the son of Zippor was king of the Moabites at that time. He sent messengers, therefore, unto Balaam, the son of Beor, to Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, Behold, there is a people come out from Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against us. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure, I shall prevail that we may smite them and that I may drive them out of the land. For I wot that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and he whom thou cursest is cursed." I want to look a little bit this morning on changes. Changes. You know, we live in a world where things are constantly changing. Sometimes for the better and sometimes for the worse. But things are constantly changing. If you've looked at our politics, things are constantly changing. And if you've looked at the world around us, things are constantly changing. Sometimes things will change for the better. Brother Jake, you said Maddie is due in January, is that correct? Yeah. Family's getting ready to change. It's 2 girls, right?
Yeah.
You're going to be so bald. Yeah, there's going to be, you know, it's just sometimes things will change, and things will change for the better, and that is phenomenal. Amen. I'm looking forward to the Facebook post where I can see everything. We're seeing changes in our family dynamics. I heard Levi just got married as well, and so they are married, and they have their own house now. Correct? Is that right? They do. And so, amen to that. You know, there are some great changes that are happening, and we're looking at some changes even in the holidays where people are getting married in my family, and they're having to separate between, you know, 2 different households at Thanksgiving and 2 different households with Christmas. And if you have or have had adult children happen to do 2 different holidays, sometimes it's heartbreaking because things are changing in the family tradition now. Some people are not here like they always are. Or sometimes you are the fun family and they come over there for the holidays, you know, that's always the pride of it. But, you know, sometimes things are changing. Things are changing. And especially with the little kids and their kids, some of the boys at my school are going through that phase where, you know, the clothes never fit them properly on the boys because they're always growing. So you never buy anything expensive for them because, you know, they're just going to grow out of it here very soon. Things are constantly changing, sometimes for the better and sometimes for the worse. And we've all seen our fair share of changes for the better and for the worse. We've seen some things that have changed for the worse. My family and I were missionaries over in England. We were over there for about 10 years. I don't have a British accent, sadly. I wish I did. I tried doing a British accent one time with my British friend, and he told me to never do it again. So I will hold to that promise there. But we moved over when I was about 5. My dad surrendered to preach. He surrendered to preach, and I was talking with my papaw, who was the pastor at our church at the time, and my papaw was talking with him, and my dad said, "Well, preacher, how do you know when you're called to preach?" And my papaw replied, "Well, if you're asking me that, God might be talking to you right now, so why don't you pray about that?" My dad responded, "I will never become a preacher." So he surrendered to preach, and after he surrendered to preach, he went through Bible college, he went through his proper training under my papaw, and my papaw then said, "Do you think you'll ever become a missionary?" My dad said, "I will never become a missionary." So we surrendered to England, and I was about 5 years old, roughly, and so we moved over to England, and that's where I grew up for about 10 years. We've seen our fair share of changes, and the dynamic over there was different. It was a big change. Even the people over there, it was a different dynamic. There were some changes that we had to get used to. There were some traditions we had to get used to. They liked tea more than coffee, God forbid. You know, I mean, it was just the changes were a lot different over there. The mission field was a lot different over there. There was a different attitude. The British people tend to cling to the Church of England, which is primarily Catholic, and they hold to that. And so to them, it was a change if you came and gave them proper doctrine that Jesus was the only way, not through a Catholic priest. And so there were some changes they had to get used to, and their doctrine was not correct. And so there were some changes our family had to get used to. My dad said that he was opening up a bag of Doritos over there, and just the food is different in England. I personally like it, but it's just the sweets aren't quite as sweet, and there's a lot of more natural sweeteners than there are artificial. And so my dad said he opened up a bag of Doritos one time, and he said he was eating the chips from it, you know, just sat around for dinner. And my dad said that he said the chips are all damp and wet. Like, I just don't understand this country. Everything we eat, it's just nothing is right and nothing's like made right. Till he asked my 2-year-old sister what she was doing with her Doritos, and she was licking the cheese off and putting them back into the bag. And so, you know, listen, for better or for worse, some things change, okay? For in that situation, things change for the worse, okay? But we've seen our dynamic of changes. Things change for better or for worse, but things will change. The problems we deal with nowadays, even with our young children or in our families, have changed. Mostly for the worse, as sad as it is to say. Used to, the main problem in schools was that children were leaving papers everywhere on their desk, or children were leaving trash around the schools. And nowadays, the main problem that people are dealing with now is suicide attempts. They're insecure of what gender they are, or even insecure if they're even human or if they are an animal. And I've had many of those people, even in my classroom, where I've had to explain to them that God loves you as you are. Things haven't changed a little, they've changed a lot. And in a sinful world, more times than not, things are changing for the worse. In spite of this world's changes, in spite of all the changes we're going to be going through, I'm thankful there are some things that never change. There are some things that never change. That's kind of what I want to title this sermon this morning for y'all. Some things never change. Some things never change. I want to look at this passage of Scripture here in Numbers 22. And I don't consider myself a long-winded preacher, but some of my teens might consider me a long-winded teacher, but you know, we'll see. It could be another 2 hours. It could be 45 minutes. I don't know. I'll just preach out what God gives for me, okay? Nobody here is in the splash zone when I spit, right? So that's perfect, perfect. I want to look a little bit on some things never change. And so Numbers chapter 22 opens up a little bit with the Moabites. And it opens up with Moab, and he's talking a little bit about Israel. Israel has been traveling to the Promised Land, and as they are traveling, they came to Edom and Moab, and They had asked if they could go through their land. They had to get permission. And Moab and Edom said no. They said, we don't want you coming through our land. We've seen what you did to Egypt. We've seen what you did to all these other great cities and how you conquered them. And we don't want you coming through our land. And they were afraid of Israel. They said, unless they conquer us, I don't want them through our land. And Moab himself says, this people, they're so much greater than I. I don't want them near my land. By the way, let me just say, Satan knows he can be defeated by the word of God. You wonder why it's so hard to get into the changing for the better and learning in God's word. It's because Satan knows the change this book will make to you is so much greater than he is. And so the children of Israel are saying that they have to go around, and so they camp near Moab, and the king, Balak, is saying, I don't want this people near me, and so I need to find a way to get rid of them. So he thinks, there is a prophet named Balaam. And someone maybe we're all very familiar with, but there is a prophet named Balaam. And I know that who he curses is cursed, and he blesses is blessed. And so why don't I get the prophet Balaam and ask him to curse this people for me? Curse Israel that I may defeat them. And now the messengers come over to Balaam, and probably men of good respect and men of rapport, so that they are able to come and talk with Balaam and be able to entreat with him about cursing Israel. And they come to him, and here's kind of a little bit of what Balaam says here in verse number 12. It says here, and God said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. And Balaam rose up in the morning and said unto the princes of Balak, get you into your land, for the Lord refuseth to give me leave to go with you. I want to look at some things never change. Number one, God's word never changes. God's word never changes. So the messengers, they come and they speak to Balaam. They're saying, come and curse this people for us that we may defeat them. And Balaam responds, well, let me see what the Lord says about this. And he goes and entreats with the Lord. And that's very good wisdom, by the way. When you're unsure about something, go and entreat God's word and pray about it until God gives you peace about it. God gives Balaam a very black and white type of answer. He gives him a very straight and simple yes or no answer. Thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people. Seems pretty simple and pretty straightforward to me. God says, no. And so Balaam says over here in verse number 15, he says, let's back up here to verse number 13. It says, and Balaam rose up in the morning and said unto the princes of Balak, get you into your land, for the Lord refuseth to give me leave to go with you. And the princes of Moab rose up, and they went unto Balak and said, Balaam refuseth to come with us. And Balak sent yet again princes more and more honorable than they. And they came to Balaam and said to him, thus saith Balak the son of Zippor, let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me. For I will promote thee unto very great honor, and I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. Now therefore I pray you, tarry ye also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more. I don't know about you, but God's word was pretty simple in the last verse there, in verse number 12. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not curse this people. God said, no. Now Balaam follows God's word and he says, I cannot go with you. And then Balak, the king of Moab, sends princes more honorable than they, and he says, come and curse this people. I will promote you. I will give you whatever you want if you'll just go and curse this people for me. And Balaam says, in his own words, he says, I can't go beyond what the word of the Lord says, but tarry here this night. Let me see what else God has to say. Let me entreat with God and see if maybe he's changed his mind. Because as we read over here in the next passage, God knew Balaam was on his way to curse Israel. Did Balaam think God, maybe his word changed a little bit? Let me just remind you, God's word never changes. And we've seen so many times in Christians' life where they'll look at a truth and think, well, does the Bible really say that, though? I mean, the Bible clearly says wine, but when you look at the context of it between the two words, yayin and oinous, and you're looking at the non-alcoholic wine that was presented in the Bible, and then there's also the alcoholic wine that Solomon talks about, strong drink is raging, and whoever's deceived thereby is not wise. God gives a pretty clear answer, but some people don't like the Word of God, and they've tried to change the context of the Word of God. But God's Word never changes. Since the beginning, Satan himself has tried to change God's Word. If you look back at Genesis chapter number 3, we won't turn there for sake of time, but Genesis chapter number 3, Satan goes to the woman and he says, "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Ye shall not surely die." Satan has tried his best to change the Word of God since the beginning. Well, how am I supposed to protect myself from these changes Satan is trying to make? Simply by learning the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. God's Word never changes. Well, what does God's Word do? Well, first off, it tells you what to do. And God gives clear instructions to Balaam. He says, "Thou shalt not go with them." God gives us very clear instructions on what to do, but also it tells us what not to do. And if you look at Psalm 1, he says, "Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, and walketh not in the way with sinners, and sitteth not in the way with scorners." And it talks a bit about how a man is blessed not just by what he does, but by what he does not do. And right here when God says, "Thou shalt not," I will bless these people and I will bless you, Balaam, but thou shalt not. I will bless you according to what you do not do. When you separate yourself from the world, God blesses you according to what you do not do, not just by what you do. And God's Word is never too hard to understand that we can't do what's right. There was a ship one time, it was sailing near the German coast, and they called in, there was a really bad storm, and so they called in on the coast, and they said, "We're sinking, we need help, we're taking on water," and up came up this microphone over the intercom. It said, "This is the German Coast Guard. How can we help you?" And the ship started saying, "We're sinking. We're sinking. We need your help." But, you know, the German, not understanding the English very well, he said, "You are what?" He said, "We're sinking. We're sinking." And the German Coast Guard said, "What are you thinking about?" He said, "We're sinking. We're sinking." It's, you know, God's Word is never too hard to understand. And even over in Pakistan, where I went over to preach and I had an interpreter, I didn't speak a word of their language, of Urdu, and I tried to speak a couple words and they said that my accent was so hilarious they couldn't take me serious. And so I couldn't understand a word they were saying. Most of them could not understand most of what I was saying. I had to preach with an interpreter. And even though we were divided by language, we were still united by the Word of God. God's Word never changes. So Balaam here starts to talk a bit about God's warning, and he says, "I'm not allowed to go with you, but stay here. Let me just see if anything's changed." Now that there's been some riches on the line presented to him and offered to him, now that there's been some honor on the line offered to him, he now wants to see maybe God has changed his mind. "Well, Lord, do you not see what they're offering me? Well, Lord, do you not see the fame that they could give me or the riches they could give me? I could serve you better if I had this." That's what seems to be a lot of people's attitude. I could serve the Lord better and I could build the wealth of my family if I didn't tithe. Well, you know, I could maybe, I could spend more time with my family if I didn't go to church every Sunday. You know, the best time to spend with your family is going to be in the house of God. You don't just spend the Sundays with your family in the house of God. You spend Sundays with your church family in the house of God. And so we look at these things. We try to do the right thing the wrong way. But truth is, God's Word never changes. Look at verse number 15 and through 19. It says here in Numbers chapter 22, verse number 15 says, "And Balak sent again princes more and more honorable than they. And they came to Balaam and said unto him, Thus saith Balak, the son of Zippor, let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me." So they're trying their best to convince him. And then as we go on here in verse number 24, go ahead and skip down there, verse number 24. It says, "But the angel of the Lord stood in a path of vineyards, a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself into the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote her again. I want us to understand here, so Balaam hears of the word, and God says, go with them, but only my word will you say unto the Israel. Thou shalt not, don't curse Israel, but go with the princes, and I'll allow you to leave. But then the Bible says that God's anger was kindled because he went. Now we might think of that and think to ourselves, well, didn't God tell him to go? Isn't this a bit confusing? I mean, Lord, first you say don't go, and then he comes to you again, and God says you can go, but only speak my word. And now God seems angry because Balaam went with the princes. Isn't this a bit contradictory? Well, not really. See, God sees the inward hearts of man. He sees the intentions. He sees the integrity, and he sees what's on the inside just as much as he sees what's on the outside. Balaam was on his way to curse Israel and disobey God's word. In other words, he looked good on the outside, but on the inside, his intentions were different. Let me just warn you, let your outside be just the same as what's on the inside. Well, we may be a Christian on Sundays, be a Christian throughout the rest of the week. We might say that we love God on our inside and our hearts, but then we don't share it to others that are around us, or we don't witness to others that are around us. Understand this, what's on the inside should manifest in what's on the outside as well. So Balaam goes with the men, and he has different intentions. I want us to understand this, and things that never change. Number one, God's word never changes. But number two, God's warning never changes. God's warning never changes. Let's keep reading here in verse number 26. It says, so Balaam saddled up the donkey and they go to ride. And it says that as they were riding, then the Bible says that the donkey goes into a field and then she goes into the pathway. And here in verse number 26, and the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place. There was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam. And Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, what have I done unto thee, that thou hast smitten me these three times? And Balaam said unto the ass, because thou hast mocked me, I would there were a sword in mine hand, for now would I kill thee. And the ass said unto Balaam, am not I thine ass upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do unto thee? And he said, nay. And the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. And the ass saw me and turned from these three times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now also I had slain thee and saved her alive. And Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displease thee, I will get me back again. I want you to understand God's warning never changes. God's word never changes, but God's warning also never changes. God gives us a warning in his word, and he gives us a message. Salvation has always been the same message since the beginning of time. As a matter of fact, the first message of salvation is given back over in Genesis at the fall of man, where the Bible talks to the serpent, and he says that thou shalt bruise his heel, he shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And he gives a message. There is a salvation message. There is a warning for Satan that the Son of Man will overcome all the sins of the world. But there is also a warning to the sinner who does not accept Christ. God's warning has always been the same. Accepting Christ as your Savior is what stops us from going to hell. And the Bible says, no man can pluck them out of my hand. And some preachers have said, well, that's a God's elect, the people who God created, and he knew they would trust Christ as their Savior. And so they are the ones God chose to go to heaven, and then there are some God created, and he chose them to go to hell. That's what's called Calvinism, ladies and gentlemen, and there is no scriptural reference to back that up. It is a completely false belief, and created over in, I believe, in the 1870s by a preacher who came out of the Catholic Church and began to study that, and he began to say, well, God created some to go to heaven and some to go to hell. Not true. God's warning has always been the exact same. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, not the elect, not the rich man, not the poor man, not the high status, not the low status, but whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God's warning has never changed. It's been the same since the beginning of time. We are lost without Christ, is God's warning. And he says, you were lost in sin without Christ. We were out witnessing one time, and one lady was talking with my dad, and my dad began to talk with her a little bit. Their kids came on our van route, and so he talked with her, and he said, if you were to die right now, where would you go, heaven or hell? And she said, heaven, without a doubt. And my dad said, really? Well, how do you know? She said, it's my heart. I've never doubted that Jesus is there. I've never doubted that he is God. And I believe that there is goodness in my heart to get me to heaven. And if that's your belief, you'll split hell wide open. God's warning has always been the same. We are lost without Christ. It doesn't matter about the goodness of our hearts. Satan believes Jesus is God. And so when we look at this, we are lost without Christ. His warning has always been the same. Trust Christ before it's everlasting too late. Accept him as your Savior. Let him come into your heart. Repent of your sins, and you can enter into heaven when you die. This was God's warning for all people. We're lost without Christ. We are convicted of sin because of Christ. We're convicted of sin because of Christ. There was a young lady, she was sobbing one time. She's just a little girl, but she was sobbing one time, and her brother came over, and like a good brother came over, and he just said, you know, well, what's wrong? And she said, well, the preacher was talking a little bit about how pride is vanity, and how vanity is a sin. And the brother said, well, why are you crying? And she said, well, every morning I get up, and I look in the mirror, and I just look and admire how beautiful I am. And him being the good brother again said, oh, don't worry, that's not vanity. That's just a mistake. And so, you know, yeah, just like a good brother, terrific. But you know, we look at this, we are convicted of sin because of Christ. Christ convicts us to get saved, and Christ convicts us to get right with God. What about the Christian who strays so far away from the will of God, and they're so lost out in sin? Are they out of God's will and therefore out of God's salvation? Have they lost it? Well, no, the Bible says, none can pluck them from my hand. Amen. We do see here that you are not blessed if you disobey God, and you miss out on the blessings of God. You miss out on the rewards in heaven from God when you disobey his will. But Christ convicts us of salvation, and he convicts us of our sin even after salvation. And then also, we have peace and comfort through Christ. God's warning never changes. We have peace and comfort through Christ. You know, I got saved when I was maybe seven. I can't say I remember all that was said. I can't say I remember all the prayers I prayed, but I do know Christ entered into my life, and it was the greatest change I've ever had. And since then, out of all the trials I've gone through and all the things that maybe I've had to witness in my life, I know I can go back to that great change that God made in my life, and I can hold to him for comfort and peace throughout the trials of life. You know, in our salvation, it's so easy to get overwhelmed with the changes of life and overwhelmed with the changes for the worse or even for the better, and it's hard to keep up with them. God gives us peace and contentment when we follow his will and obey. Through Christ the Son and our salvation, God gives us peace and comfort. He hears us every time, and I've never known a day when I knelt to pray and God didn't hear me. And I've never faced a trial where God did not make a way for me to escape or a way for me to overcome. There was a young boy one time. He said that they were saying their prayers, and he had his little brother with him, and he said they were praying, and he was like, you know, Lord, thank you for this day, and help us at school tomorrow, and amen. Then it came this little boy, and he starts to scream top of his lungs. He's like, Lord, thank you for this day, and I pray I get that new toy for Christmas, amen. And the older brother said, you don't have to shout, God can hear you. He said, I know, but grandma's in the next room. So, yeah, you look at this, God can hear us no matter where we are, no matter where we're at, no matter how far off in sin we are. God hears us, and he is always ready to take us back with open arms. But first, remember God's warning. Turn to me, O Israel, he says so many times. The sinner who has turned astray and has gone out into sin so far from the will of God, God, like the father of the prodigal son, says, come unto me, I will give you rest, I will give you peace. But first, you have to obey. God's warning never changes. His salvation warning never changes. And his warning for the Christian, saying, you cannot enjoy the blessings and the peace of God if you're not abiding in my will. God's word never changes. God's warning never changes. But also, I want to look at this. God's reward never changes. So the Bible says here that Balaam, he was on his way to curse Israel, and God saw the intents of his heart, and he rides the donkey, and rides there, and the donkey goes out into the field, and so he gets mad, he hits the donkey, and then turns her back over to the narrow path where you couldn't turn right on one side and you couldn't turn left on the other, and they're down that narrow path, and probably down an Ohio road, just from the description of it, you know. But at any rate, he's going down that road, and as he's going, the donkey sees the angel with the sword in his hand to kill Balaam, and the donkey just plops beneath him, and he gets all angry, and so he smites the donkey again. And so, you ever had car troubles, and then, you know, you sit down, it's the most frustrating thing ever. And so, he sits there, he's frustrated, he doesn't know what to do, so then, finally, he gets the donkey, and the donkey crushes his foot up against the wall, and if you've ever had car trouble when it's cold and you hit your hand, there's a whole bunch of new sounds you can make out of that. And so he's sitting there, so he's angry, he's been hurt, and he's frustrated, he's embarrassed. He's now probably fallen behind from the princes of Balak. And so he stands there, and he starts to talk to the donkey, and the donkey, the Bible says, God opened up her mouth, and she begins to speak to him, and so angry he doesn't even realize she's speaking to him. And he begins to talk, and he said, I would that there was a sword in my hand that I would kill thee. Then God opens up the eyes of Balaam, and he says, you've disobeyed me, and I saw the evil in the intent of your heart. I saw what was on the inside, even though on the outside you tried to be something else. I've given you my word, I've given you my warning, and you disobeyed. Till finally Balaam says, I have sinned. And he says here in verse number 34, if it displease thee, I will get me back again. You know, there needs to come a time in our life where finally our eyes are open to the word of God and to the warning of God. Verse number 35 says, and the angel of the Lord said unto Balaam, go with the men, but only the word that I shall speak unto thee, that thou shalt speak. So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. And when Balak heard that Balaam was come, he went out to meet him unto a city of Moab, which is in the border of Arnon, which is in the utmost coast. And Balak said unto Balaam, did not I earnestly send thee to call thee? Wherefore camest thou not unto me? Am I not able to indeed to promote thee to honor? And Balaam said unto Balak, lo, I am come unto thee. Have I now any power at all to say anything? The word that God putteth in my mouth, that shall I speak. God's word never changes. God's warning never changes. But also, God's reward never changes. I want to look here. Balaam comes before the people between the border, and he sees Israel, and instead of offering a curse, he lifts up his hands and he blesses Israel, and he blesses the God of Israel, and he obeys God's word. He missed out on a lot of the riches that King Balak would have given him. He misses out on the blessings and the honor that King Balak would have given him. But instead, he gets a new reward, a heavenly reward, and God blesses Balaam for it. Now, later on in Scripture, we do see where Balaam does disobey God again, but for right now, we see that he obeyed God. There is a reward for the work we do on this earth. You may not see it now, But there is a heavenly reward for the work we do on this earth. Balaam forsook the riches of Balak in order to serve God for the heavenly reward. And let me just remind you, if you're choosing to serve God, you're going to miss out on some of the riches of this world. And instead, trade them for a heavenly reward. But I've seen many Christians who, no matter how much they missed out on, and no matter how many riches they missed out on, or how much fame they missed out on, they kept serving God. Don't quit serving God. I believe it was Florence Chadwick who swam 26 miles. And she was an Olympic swimmer, but she wanted to break the record and swim a total of 26 miles between the coast of California and Catalina. And she began to swim, and she said she swam on a very dark night. They had the boat next to her so that she would be safe. And so they watched her swim, and she swam and she swam and she swam, and she started getting tired, but she still continued to swim and swim and swim. And she swam so much, and to the point where finally she just threw in the towel and said, "I just can't do it anymore." And so she raised up her hand for the boat, and the boat pulled her in. And they said off in the distance they could see just a mile away was the island that she needed to swim to. She almost broke the record, but she said, "Had I seen the island in sight, I would have kept going." Don't quit when you're so close to your heavenly reward. Amen. The changes down here on this earth, they change rapidly, more for the worse than for the better, but there are so many changes in this world. Don't trade your heavenly reward to keep up with the sinful changes of the world. There are many changes that happen to us in life, some for the better and some for the worse, but in the midst of our changes, hold to that which never changes. Hold to that which never changes. I'm going to go ahead and pray, and then we'll be dismissed. And should I pass it over to Brother Kyle? Is he in here? Brother Kyle, should I pass it over to you, brother? Sure. We'll go ahead and pray, and then we'll be dismissed here. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for all that you've done for us. I thank you for the Word, and I thank you for this church. And Lord, despite all the constant changes that we go through, help us to hold to that which never changes, your Word and your warning and your reward upon us. Lord, I thank you for a church that keeps its integrity. And Lord, even going through the hardest times, I thank you that your Word never changes and that you have never changed and your goodness never changes toward us. We thank you for all that you've done for us. And Lord, I thank you for this message. I thank you for this church. And help us. In your name we do pray. Amen.